Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Friday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. It's a delight to be able to be with you today, and I want to thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. And Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr are not with us today. Dave is over in Israel. He might call in from Israel today. I'm not sure. Originally, we had thought that he might do that, and whether he is able to do that or not, we don't know. We will find out. I know as much about that as you do. Sam is on his way to Alaska. He's on a leadership conference, and so I guess you could say that this has been the week for travel for those of the American Pastors Network. I was in California all week until last night, got home here in Altoona about, the plane landed about 5 o'clock, I guess, and got home a little bit later than that. But I had a great time out in California. I was attending a conference called the Future Conference, where we were talking a lot about how to prepare future ministry to reach the millennials. And it was quite a conference. I learned a lot of things, and some of those things I'll be sharing with you from time to time on the program. I was thinking about dedicating most of today's program to that. However, we all know that down in Charleston, South Carolina, a shooting took place on Wednesday evening, and things are still developing with that. And so I'm going to be talking a lot about that today. But I also want to remind you that today is Phone-In Friday, which means that we would like for you to phone in and participate with us today. The numbers include, if you are in the Philadelphia area, locally, it's 610-539-1784. I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong number. Let me forget that one. That's another number. I've been out of town for a week, so we'll excuse me for that, right? Right. The number is 610-539-8255. 610-539-8255, which is talk. Or the toll-free number is 1-877-667-1180. 1-877-667-1180, toll-free, or the local number in the Philadelphia area where our flagship station is, WFYL. The number is 610-539-TALK, which translates to 610-539-8255. And you might have some input that you have on this situation that took place down in Charleston, South Carolina, Wednesday night. This is really something. Everybody has an opinion on it. Some of the opinions are good, some are bad, some are really way out. And there are some questions that I want to throw out to you today for you to consider. I'd love to hear what you have to say about some of these things, including the fact, number one, are churches in America safe today? You know, we've been talking about this for quite some time in pastoral circles. Now, we've not talked about it too much here on the radio program, but in light of the fact that you've got somebody going into a church down in Charleston, South Carolina, and killing 9 people after he spent 45 minutes with them in prayer meeting and Bible study, this is absolutely crazy. And so, you know, we need to ask the question, are churches in America safe these days? One of the things that I found out in the conference this past week out in California in San Diego is that Islam is growing to the point that they are telling us that in reality, the Muslims are planting spies in Bible-believing churches across this nation and around the world. As a matter of fact, the fellow who was giving us the information basically said that every church in America has a Muslim spy within it. Now, I don't know that I would say every church has a Muslim spy in it. I could say that many do. I had to conduct a radio interview the other day in the American Family Radio Network, and I did not use the word every. I used the word many, But what's happening is that these Muslims are coming to Christ, and or let me back up. These Muslims are saying they're coming to Christ. They are saying that they've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. They are coming to local churches. They are going through the membership classes. They are joining the churches. They are getting involved in the leadership of the churches. And they're really not born again, but they're Muslim spies within solid Bible-believing evangelical fundamental churches. And, you know, that's kind of scary on that side. And then on the other side, you've got a situation where down in Charleston, South Carolina, on Wednesday night, this 21-year-old, 5'9" inch fella who weighs about 120 pounds with a baby face by the name of Dylan Roof went into that church and participated in the prayer meeting, participated in the Bible study as they were studying through the Gospel of Mark, by the way. And at the end of that Bible study, he basically stood up and he said, well, I just have to do this. And what I'm going to do, I am going to do simply because of the fact that you are raping our women and killing our children and so forth and so on. And so he begins to shoot these people, shoots 9 of them, including the pastor. He did allow at least one of the individuals who was there to remain alive so that that person could go out and tell everybody else what happened. And so the question that we throw out today is simply this, you know, are churches in America safe today? I'd like to hear what you have to say about that. Along with that, in the last 24 hours, there has been a lot of talk on should clergy carry guns to church? Should the pastor be trained to have a gun in the pulpit? What are your thoughts on that? 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255, or toll free 1-877-667-1180, 1-877-667-1180. Do you think that a pastor should carry a gun to church and wear that gun in the pulpit? Do you think that churches are safe today, in light of the fact that we have situations like this Dylan Roof going into a church down there in South Carolina and killing the people there? And in light of the fact that, as I learned this past week, Muslims are really planting spies, within local churches. I mean, is the American church safe today? I'd like to hear your answer to that. What do you think about that? And as a matter of fact, there's a third question I'd throw out to you, and that is, what should be done to protect churches from such tragedies today as people coming in and shooting up the people and whatever the case may be? I'd love to hear from you. Our number is toll-free 1-877-667-1180 or locally 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-8255 in the Philadelphia area. And I'm interested in hearing what you have to say about these questions. We're going to take this break, and then I will be back with more after that. It's just you and me today. Let's talk.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Pennsylvania's General Assembly once again is looking at a possible expansion of gambling to try and meet budget shortfalls. This time around, the proposal is to legalize online gambling, which, as one senator said just last week, it would in effect put a slot machine in every home, even at 3 a.m. Well, first, government gambling revenues don't match the promises. You remember the property tax relief that Ed Rendell promised when legalizing casinos? Well, that hardly materialized. And as we predicted at that time, casino gambling would create nearly 300,000 gambling addicts statewide, causing crime, bankruptcy, family breakup, and suicide. The most recent survey shows we're at 280,000 addicted gamblers in Pennsylvania and climbing. Government-sponsored gambling is a bad idea, and adding to it is simply irrational. Find out more about this issue at our website at pafamily.org.
School property taxes are out of sight and going up almost every year. Even if you've paid off your mortgage, you haven't paid off the state of Pennsylvania. If you lose your job, you could lose your home too. But there is hope on the horizon. Harrisburg is considering a bill which will eliminate property taxes for school funding. It replaces it with a broad-based small increase in income taxes and sales taxes. This makes all Pennsylvanians responsible for school funding, not just property owners. Please join us at Montgomery County Community College in Pottstown on Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m. for a town hall meeting to discuss how we can fully fund our schools without taxing people out of their homes. Town hall meeting, Montgomery County Community College in Pottstown on Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m. Admission is free.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today. I am Gary Dull, and Sam Rohr is on his way to Alaska, and David Kistler is over in Israel. And so it's you and it's me. There used to be a song many, 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 many years ago called Me and You and a Dog Named Boo. Yeah. That was a country western song. I don't actually remember all the words, but I do remember the song. So it's us today. And this is Phone-In Friday, which means we'd love to have you call in. The toll-free number is 1-877-667-1180. Or if you call into the flagship station in Philadelphia, which is WFYL, the number is 610-539-8255. That is 610-539-8255. We're talking about what took place down in Charleston, South Carolina, and we're going to go to the phone lines in just a moment. But Dylan Roof is this 21-year-old fellow who did the shooting and shot these nine people in prayer meeting Wednesday night after the evening service, after he spent at least 45 or 50 minutes in the church with the others. And, of course, he has since been caught, and he was charged with nine counts of murder and one count of weapon possession in connection with Wednesday night's massacre there at the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston. Authorities say that Roof walked into a Bible study class at the church. He stayed until the session was about to end, and then he began to shoot. And according to those who were witnesses at the end of the Bible study, he stood up. He says, "I have to do it. You rape our women, and you're taking over our country, and you have to go." And so he started to shoot, and he shot the pastor and eight others, and a sad, sad situation. But he was arrested yesterday in North Carolina and extradited back to South Carolina ahead of a scheduled Friday bond hearing this afternoon. I think it's to take place at about 2 o'clock. And so we're going to be talking about that and other related issues today. But the question that I've thrown out to you that I'd be interested in hearing your response to is, number one, are churches in America safe these days? This particular church, the Emmanuel African Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina, is probably, as I understand it, the oldest AME church in the South. It's been there for years. It's a traditional church. It's a historical church. They've never had any trouble like this until, you know, Dylan Roof walked in and started to kill people the other night. Are churches in America safe these days? Another question that's out there today is, should clergy carry guns to church to protect himself and people who might, and the people of his congregation from those who may come in to try to destroy the church or kill people within the church? And then what should be done to protect churches from such tragedies as took place down in Charleston on Wednesday night? I'd love to hear from you. The number is 1-877-667-1180 or 610-539-8255. Let's go to Mac. Mac, welcome to Stand in the Gap today. Your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, my wife and I were just talking about this today. And incidentally, that song of yours, I know a little stanza on that, but I can get to that later. Me and you and a dog named Blue. But yeah,
one of the you know that song.
Oh yeah, I know it. I'll never forget the day and he says, "Old McDonald, he made us work, but then he paid us for what it was worth. Another tank of gas and back on the road again." Me and you and a dog named. So I do know that. I'm 55, so.
You're dating yourself.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to coming to your church sometime, Pastor. My wife and I are thinking about coming up that way 4th of July. But early years ago, close to 20 years ago in Texas, the Bible Belt had happened. Somebody went in there and said, what you people believe in is blankety blank blank profanity, and just started shooting up. Now, So yes, I believe a clergy should have it, and I think it was on a program earlier this year, you said where the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere, the first place that guy went to was to his church to tell his pastor, and the first shot was fired from the church to stop the British. So yes, definitely, if somebody comes in, the pastor strategically is in a great point because he's behind the pulpit, so center mass is covered. He has a 38 or something or a 44 Ruger Red Hawk behind the pulpit. As soon as that guy draws down, he pulls that out, prepare to meet your God, bam, 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 and it's over. And the clergy should have firearms.
And this, well, now, the situation that you're talking about there when Paul Revere rode was the fact that the British were coming to get a pastor who, of course, had basically organized his congregation to stand against the British. And, of course, you know, the British realized that this was a serious issue, and so even though Paul Revere was running and shouting, "The British are coming, the British are coming, the British are coming," he was going to his pastor's home out in the Concord, Lexington area of Massachusetts, and, you know, telling him that he better get ready. But, of course, he and his congregation went out and fought the British. And then, of course, later the Black Robe Regiment was formed. And, of course, that was made up of pastors who, you know, in those days they wore robes. But under their robes they would wear military uniforms. And after they would preach, they would go out to battle and things along that line. You know, that would be interesting if that type of a thing took place today, Mac. But
yeah. But
I don't know. I, you know, as a pastor, I don't know that I'd want to wear a gun in the pulpit. Now, you know, I think that we've gotten to the place where churches must have good, solid security. But and I think that we've gotten to the place where pastors need to be protected. But, you know, I don't know that I personally would want to carry a gun in the pulpit. Now, let me say this. I am a card-carrying member of the National Rifle Association. I am also a I have a license to carry a concealed weapon. But to take it into church, I don't know. I'd rather depend upon those who are trained to take care of us and protect us rather than for me to actually carry the gun.
Well, Pastor, just so you know, my pastor, I consult him a lot in Texas, John T. Bryant Jr., Grace Baptist Church. I told him about your program, by the way, and he's one of the remaining few old, you know, traditional men of God that that stand for what the Word of God says and nothing more. And he told me of an incident when he was, you know, had his concealed to carry and going down the Harlingen, some guy passed him and then slowed down and passed him about the third time. This when he said to his wife, "Hand me the gun," and as the guy's looking in, he sees that, he said he was gone. Mm-hmm. But we're getting to the age, Pastor, where, you know, keeping it behind the pulpit and then somebody comes in and you're there, you've got, as a pastor, you've got a better vantage point than most people have their backs to the assailant, but you can see them straight up. Now, in my church, we have one guy that has a concealed carry, and he brings it with him to church because we're in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, which is a pretty, right around the corner from our church, somebody got gunned down, you know, right around the corner from it. So, and then another incident, I'm coming into church, and in the parking lot, here's a guy walking a pit bull with a leash just dragging on the ground as if, you know, I got a big bad pit bull, and who's going to do anything? Well, I'll tell you right now, God forbid, if we got a lot of kids in our church, some kid comes running out, now we got a problem.
Yeah.
So, yes, well, Pastor, I would agree. I would disagree. I think a pastor should have a gun with him. Strategically, it's a great place. He's behind the pulpit. He can see what's going on, and he can put a stop to it right then and there. But I love your show. I love your program, and thank you for giving me a chance to air it out. And booyah to my comrade Navy SEALs. God bless you.
Okay, Mac, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate that very, very much. And Mac states that he thinks that pastors ought to carry guns into the pulpit. And that's really the question that is out there. Are churches in America safe? That's one question. Number two, should clergy carry guns to church in light of what is taking place down in Charleston, South Carolina? And if I understand it correctly, I think the pastor was the first person that Dylan Roof shot Wednesday night after prayer meeting. So maybe if the pastor had a gun, why, he could have prevented these other folks from being killed. I don't know. You know, the question is the $64,000 question, I suppose you could say. So should clergy carry guns at church? Another question is, what should be done to protect churches from such tragedies today? And we do want to hear your phone calls, and we have a call or two that we'd like to take, but we're going to go into this break. And so if you're on the line, just stay there. When we come back, we will take you on we will bring you on the program and hear what you have to say. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr are not only out of the town, they're out of the country. And so it's just us today, and we're talking about this situation where 9 people were killed in a church down in Charleston, South Carolina on Wednesday night. So you stay tuned. We will be back with your phone calls and more information right after this on Stand in the Gap today.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. Charleston, South Carolina, in mourning after the shooting deaths of 9 people Wednesday night at a historic black church. A prayer service and candlelight vigil set for tonight at the College of Charleston.
To think about the tragic events, to allow the families to be there within the bosom of this community.
Charleston Mayor Joseph Riley, the 21-year-old suspected gunman Dylan Roof, confessing to that crime, now charged with 9 counts of murder. The Environmental Protection Agency rolling out new emissions and fuel standards for big vehicles like tractor trailers and buses starting in 2021.
These fuel-saving technologies are currently available or are in development and include, among other things, combustion optimization, aerodynamic improvements, and low rolling resistance tires.
EPA official Janet McCabe. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
Working for you. Tri-state area, streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today. I am Gary Dull. Sam Rohr and Dave Kistler are away. Dave's over in Israel on a work-study program over there. Sam, of course, is away in Alaska on a cruise with a leadership conference. And so today, as well as all of next week, it's just me and you, or you and me, I guess, to be more appropriately grammatically correct. However, next week we will be having some guest hosts along with us, and so I trust that you'll be there as well. But today we are talking about the situation down in Charleston, South Carolina, where 9 people were killed Wednesday night after church. And the question that I'm throwing out is, are churches in America safe these days? Should clergy carry guns to church? and what should be done to protect churches from such tragedies. And, of course, this is Phone In Friday, so we'd love to hear from you. You can call in toll-free 1-877-667-1180, or in the Philadelphia area, you can call 610-539-8255. That's 610-539-8255. And let's go to Caroline up in Malvern, Pennsylvania. Caroline, welcome to the program today.
Well, hi, Pastor Gary. It's really nice to be on the program. This is the second time I've called in. And, boy,
well,
I'm thinking about Alaska. That's one place I would love to go. I hope I can go someday. But
well, maybe
when
you
I heard
can.
This terrible news about this horrible tragedy, I just prayed, and I just thought about those families who are grieving the loss of their loved ones. And when you put out the question, are churches safe today, I don't know that we can actually say, you know, when you walk outside your door, you just pray for God's protection and you ask God to keep you safe. And we just have no guarantees. Are we really safe anywhere? We just have to put, I believe we have to put ourselves in God's hands and just ask God to protect us. And I think when you go into a church, you would think, wow, that would be the last place where I would go that any harm would ever come to me. And so I don't think that I would, like yourself, when you were saying about having a gun in the pulpit, I don't know. I would imagine that pastors would really, or I would know that, really believe that they would pray about it and decide how God was leading them. But it just seems so absolutely crazy that you would have to be in the pulpit and have a gun to protect you. But I don't think that I would have a fear. I think we can become so paranoid and become so fearful that we would be afraid of everything after a while. And I just feel that if I'm going to walk into a church, I'm just going to ask God's protection and protection for everyone in that congregation.
You know,
I mean,
Caroline,
I don't know what else to say. It's, you know, as you asked the question, are people safe in churches today, or churches in America safe? I think, you know, they're just as safe as they're going to be, and I just think you have to just go and just not be afraid to enter that church. And just
well,
trust
you know,
God.
You know what you're saying there, Caroline. I agree with 100%, and it's a good point. However, this question is out there today. If you are, you know, watching what's going on across the country, many people are asking that question: Are churches in America safe? But you know, wherever we go today, we need to realize that, as always, there is always some measure of danger.
Oh,
and one of the things that the terrorists would like is to you know, infringe fear upon us. That's really what terror is all about.
Right.
Many times they don't really want to rob us. Many times they don't really want to kill us. They just want us to live in fear. And so you know, the devil, who the Bible says comes to kill and steal and destroy, would no doubt try to say to people, well, you better not go to church because you never know. Somebody might just show up and start shooting at you. But
right.
You know, Caroline, that could happen in your home. That could happen when you're walking down
anywhere.
The street. It could happen anywhere. And you know, one of the things that we as Christians need to understand is that we are in the hands of the Lord. And,
exactly. We are.
Yeah.
And you know, another thing I was thinking about, me carrying a gun, well, I'm without my sight, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, that would be pretty dangerous for me to be carrying a gun. I don't think I can do that. I know I have to totally and completely trust in God, you know, protect me, and I haven't flown for years, talking about flying, and you were saying you were in California. Well, I'm going to be taking a trip next October, and the first thing that entered my mind was, oh, my goodness, I shouldn't get on that plane. I haven't been on a plane. What if this happens? What if that happens? And I was going with all the what ifs. And then I thought, no, you know, I just prayed and I said, Lord, if you want me to be on that trip or go on that flight, then you open the door. And if you don't, you let me know very definitely and you slam that door. Don't let me get on that plane. And I've just gone with that and I have peace about it and I'm not worried about it. Because I'll claim God's protection. I think we just have to know that God will protect us wherever we go. And if something happens, then maybe, you know, the Lord allows it for a reason.
Well, you know, you're getting into some good theology, Caroline, and I think in light of what we're talking about here,
right.
we must recognize this. Number one, God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
That's right.
And, you know, no matter where we go, he is with us. He is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. And
right.
God is the God who causes, allows, or directs all things to happen.
He does. So,
you know, and another verse, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And
right.
so, you know, nothing is going to happen to us outside of God's will, outside of God's plan, outside of God's direction. And even as he's taken care of us up to this point in life, we know that he will take care of us right on up until our death. The psalmist talks about that.
We will.
And I'm afraid.
I know, I have to admit, sometimes I worry about things. Being older, I'm thinking, oh, what if this happens? What if this happens? What am I going to do if? And then I realize I've got to trust God because he's got it all planned. He's got it all worked out. And I feel that he has much more for me to do. And if I'm going to minister, do my ministry of music in churches, which I hope I do, then I'm not going to be afraid to walk into that church. Because I'm going to think this way. Maybe if there's a gunman in there and he decides he's going to shoot somebody after the service, maybe after I get my message and song over and we reach the end of the service, maybe he's going to change his mind and God's going to change his life.
Well, I mean, that's true. And I have heard stories like that, Caroline, where people have gone into the church to do harm, but they heard the message of the gospel and they came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course, they became a new creature in Christ and changed their mind. You know, that has happened on more than one occasion, maybe not necessarily going into the church to cause harm, but in other situations where they were going out to do something in a sinful, godless way, and they heard the gospel, and their lives were changed, and they did not follow through with what they had intended on doing because of the way that the Spirit of God worked in their lives.
Exactly. I think, you know, it's only natural being human beings that we're going to be fearful at times, but then we've got to conquer that fear, and we've got to just give it over to God, and we've got to pray about it. And the more we pray, and I've always heard, you know, the saying, why worry when you can pray? So I'm going to pray and worry less because that doesn't help.
No.
But that's just my comment and my thoughts about it, and I'm sure that many listeners have good comments and thoughts to share. So, but I'm certainly glad I could call in today and share that with you.
Okay, Caroline, I appreciate your call very, very much. Thank you, and keep up the good work. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you. 1-877-667-1180 is the toll-free number if you'd like to call in and participate with our program today. Or in the local Philadelphia area, it's 610-539-TALK, which is translated to 8255. And again, we're talking about what took place down in Charleston, South Carolina, where on Wednesday night after a prayer meeting, a fella went in and, you know, he just was, in my opinion, following the way of depraved humanity. And Dylan Roof, a 21-year-old recent graduate from college, whose dad just recently gave him a gun for his birthday back in April, started shooting up all of these people simply because of the fact that he had some sort of a bias against the black people. And, you know, certainly that's not a good thing at all. And so the media, people all across the nation have been talking about this today. As a matter of fact, Bishop E.W. Jackson, who is a leader in the black community, has something to say about this. And I've got his quote that I want to share with you when we come back from the break. He is a bishop of the Called Church. He's a Marine Corps veteran. He was even the 2013 Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor in Virginia. He's the president of STAND, and of course, he's a member of the Family Research Council. He has something to say upon this issue of the safety in churches, and when we come back from the break, I will share with you some of the things that he says about that. This is Stand in the Gap today. I'm Gary Dahl. And I'll be back with more right after these messages.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our three-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church. In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500 or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Genius Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The first formal Father's Day was celebrated on this day, June 19, 1910. It began in Spokane, Washington, when a woman named Sonora Louise Dodd heard a Mother's Day sermon at church. She wanted to honor her father, who had raised all six children by himself after his wife died. Sonora drew up a petition, which was immediately supported by the Young Men's Christian Association and the ministers of Spokane. In 1972, President Richard Nixon established Father's Day as a permanent national observance on the third Sunday of June.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Father's Day is a great time to consider God's role as father. As a father of six and grandfather to nine, I've thought much about my role, and this I've learned. The more we men emulate God, the Heavenly Father, the better the husband and father will be. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. As our fatherhood model, God's the wise father, the great counselor and comforter. He's just, kind, merciful, and patient. He instructs and guides, protects and shields. He firmly disciplines but loves unconditionally. He loves so much he gave his son, the perfect sacrifice to save our souls. He's the humble servant, yet the greatest leader. He's the model in every way of what an earthly father should be. To you, fathers and grandfathers, I ask, how much do you resemble God the Father? Remember, you are the picture of God to your wife and children. What view of God do they have? I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, my fellow fathers, this Father's Day, to think about this.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Gary Dahl. Dave and Sam are away for a couple of days, and you might want to pray for them as they are out of the country. Dave is over in Israel, and Sam is on his way to Alaska, and they're really not having a vacation per se. They're both involved in work studies and so forth, and so you might just want to be praying for them. And we've been talking about this shooting that's happened down in Charleston, South Carolina, on Wednesday night after prayer meeting there in AME, the Emmanuel AME Church of Charleston, South Carolina. And I want to try to wrap it up by making some statements on that. First of all, I want to talk about what E.W. Jackson said. Now, as I said before we went into the break, E.W. Jackson is Bishop of the Called Church. He's a Marine Corps veteran. He was a 2013 Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor of Virginia. He's a member of the Family Research Council. He's very active. And today, he is going to be holding a emergency conference call with pastors all across the nation to discuss what churches should do in light of what took place down in Charleston on Wednesday. And yesterday, in talking to Fox News, and maybe some of you had the opportunity of seeing this, he said this, and I quote, he says, I'm not suggesting turning churches into armed camps, but Christian leaders must take seriously our responsibility to defend innocent men, women, and children. It is clear that the shooter is racist. Talking again about Dylan Roof, who did the shooting down there in Charleston. He says, it is clear that the shooter is racist, but he also chose to attack a church. Evil people and mentally ill people are looking for easy victims. Even though religious hatred may not be their primary motive, they can feel safe attacking a church because that is a place where you are not likely to meet resistance. And, of course, the bishop's approach to that basically was in direct contradiction to what President Obama said when he called for more gun control. As a matter of fact, in light of the president calling for more gun control, Bishop Jackson said, and I quote, "The president and other gun control advocates should consider the consequences of policies which guarantee that only the criminal will have a gun. Law-abiding citizens are finding it increasingly difficult to get a firearm to defend themselves and their families. They should be able to exercise their God-given right of self-defense protected by the Second Amendment," end quote. And so, of course, you know, Bishop Jackson doesn't think that we need further law, further rules and regulations for gun control. And, of course, the Second Amendment does guarantee our freedom to carry a gun, where it says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Of course, the discussion on the Second Amendment is something else to take into consideration. But let me just try to wrap this up in the last few minutes that we have in the program. I believe that what took place down in Charleston, South Carolina, was the act of an unsaved, totally depraved individual. We do know that he had a record of sorts in the past with the police. We do know that he involved himself with some drugs and alcohol, and so he wasn't really what you would call an angel. And so, you know, what he did was what those who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior should do. I have a little paper that I send out. It's an email, a blog kind of a thing that I send out to my congregation. It's called From My Study. And I sent that out this morning, and I said that one of the things that will prevent things like this from happening is evangelism. If somebody would have led Dylan Roof to Christ, the chances of him doing what he did would be, you know, extremely rare. And so I think one lesson that we need to learn from this is that we've got the responsibility to get out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, You talk about locking down the church. The church has got to be open for everybody to come in. Jew, Gentile, bond or free, red, yellow, black, and white. The church has got to be open for people to come in. That does not mean that we should not be vigilant. I know the church that I pastor, the Faith Baptist Church of Altoona, has a security team. They are non-uniformed, but they have the responsibility of guarding our church during services, and I think that they do quite a fine job. And certainly I think it's okay. It's probably wise for churches to have security teams like that. So I would encourage you as pastors to make sure that you've got something in store there to guarantee to watch over the security and the care of the people that come to your church. But remember, God is in control. And I think that the devil could use this to try to keep people from going to church on this coming Sunday. I really do. And I don't want those of you who are Christians and who are good churchgoers to succumb to that idea. As Caroline said in a phone call a moment ago, wherever we go, there's the possibility that things are going to happen to us. So let's go to church. In fact, I call for more people to go to church this coming Sunday than ever before. Let's stand up for truth and righteousness. But I also remind you that God has said that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And over in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the Word of God says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Remember that the devil will do all that he can to kill and steal and destroy. The devil will do all that he can to keep people from going to church in this case. But where is our faith? You know, faith is the idea that we forsake all other things and trust him. Somebody said that that's what faith is all about. F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust him. In other words, it's a complete trust in God to take care of us. And so, number one, we need to pray that people like Dylan Roof will come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do need to pray that racism comes to an end. And I kind of think that one of the reasons why racism has risen up its head in recent days is because of the likes of Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. I think they stir the pot more than anybody else. Well, personally, I believe we need to pray for their salvation as well. But keep in mind that as Christians, we are in the hands of God. He said, "I will never leave thee, I will not forsake thee." You and I don't need to walk around in fear. Do we need to be vigilant? Certainly. Do we need to be diligent? Certainly. But once again, remember, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Let's trust in God and then watch God work. Well, I want to thank you for being with us today. I trust you'll go to church on Sunday, the Lord willing. We will be back with you again on Monday. Until then, on behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, who are not with us today, I'm Gary Dull saying stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, because we know that the best is yet to come. Amen? Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Stand in the gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.